Can I ask you a question, Jamin?
Yeah.
When you talked about how it, like, changed you, can you talk about specifically, like, the themes of how it changed your perspective?
I can't remember.
You can't.
Remember how it changed you?
In the moment,
he actually changed his mind.
He bounced right back.
I'm not changed anymore.
Well, it was like.
Like, when you really enjoy something and someone is just like, yeah, it was cool. Like, I interpret that as, like, being a lot more negative than it probably was.
Well, it's just,
yeah, it kind of kills my vibe.
It kills the vibe.
It does.
It's more fun if you can have, so if you can talk to somebody who really hates something that you love. Mm-hmm. Because then there's at least
room for strong discussion. Emotion. Yeah. Just give me some feeling.
I want a passion, boy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, are you just asking for, our reactions now?
Yeah.
Okay. I felt like I took a tab of acid after watching that movie. It was so intense.
Yeah.
And then after, I was like, I feel like my entire life has changed. It was one of those movies where.
More than the mic.
It's one of those movies where I felt like my perspective on life changed a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I'm still like, you know, I still kind of feel the same way.
You mean?
But it definitely made me look like more, I don't know, deeper.
Introspective. And it was very
introspective, yes. Mm. Very like cathartic.
All right, well,
is that the right word?
What other big words you got?
We'll have to come,
What did I say before?
Scandalous.
That's not.
That's another word. I said scandalous instead of scandalous and scanty.
Yeah.
Scantily. Sorry.
I actually had a similar feeling. Like, well, I should let Greg go, but
no, that's
fine. Okay. Well, we established that your reaction was clearly, at least positive. But
yes. Well, I think for me, it's like. I'm the kind of person that I love movies, but I'm also like really easily distracted, and I like watch movies with like either like with my phone in my hand, and I'm always kind of thinking about, okay, who directed this, and oh, like this reminded me of this thing, and I'm just always like just everywhere,
yeah,
no pun intended,
all at once.
But like you couldn't really do that with this movie, because all the things that like I would have been interested in, they provided. And so I was just kind of locked in for the ride, and it just had a little bit of everything that I want to see in, you know, it like sometimes it's like you get into like this mode where it's just like it's too much of a good thing, but this one wasn't too much of a good thing, because they were bouncing around so much that I was just like, you know, they weren't really committing to like giving you all of this one genre. It was kind of bouncing around to like different things. And I kind of resonated when they brought it back towards the end. I kind of really resonated with just the story that was connecting the whole thing. It was cool. So yeah, I remember just thinking like that, like this is worth a discussion. And it's like, I follow a lot of like, you know, people just talking about movies, and I'm just like, okay, I have access to like at least one of the people, like the groups of people that talk about movies, so I want to hear people talk about this, because it deserves to be talked about.
Yes,
wow, that is good.
Yeah,
yes.
I actually had a serious response to it, but it just got lost in my joke. Let me think for a second.
Well, no, tell your joke.
You had a no, my joke was just responding in that stupid way.
Oh, gotcha.
It's okay, take your time.
Oh, it was you saying like that there's movies where you can have too much of a good thing, and that it can feel like it's too scattered. Like, I feel like there's so many movies where they try to like they just bite off more than they can chew. Yeah. And I was actually a little bit concerned about it now that I'm remembering like my expectations before going into it, because I heard people say, oh, it's a multiverse movie. And I was like, uh-oh, like don't. Don't do that.
I had the exact same thought. I'm like, enough.
Yeah.
And enough with that.
Because all the superhero movies are doing it, and it's just like, okay, it's the year, it's the decade of multiverse, I guess.
Yeah.
But to watch that movie and then see like how well they took a concept, which is, this is also like what Christopher Nolan tries to do a lot. Mm-hmm. He takes this like high caliber concept, just crazy concept, then and tries to like weave a heartfelt story into it. And they like killed it, the directors. Mm-hmm. I feel like they took this like crazy concept and gave it so much creative pizzazz, but then also like grounded it so well with the characters. Everything was brought back to the characters.
Yes.
And that's what really made me feel like so satisfied by the end of the movie. Like, and even halfway through, I was like, yeah, this is like pretty crazy and I'm really enjoying it. Mm-hmm. But I know that I could feel very disconnected at the end. Mm-hmm. And then when they brought it back, I just felt so like, oh, this is like, I thought it was a masterpiece. Yeah. And I resonated with what you were saying. Like, I feel a little bit different now.
We need to have like a masterpiece votary banner or something with like with a stinger.
Yeah. Masterpiece.
Like any time that we mention that, which I'm very guilty of saying that word way too much. It's like, oh, masterpiece. Like anything that I moderately enjoy, masterpiece. So I'm wondering if it is it like did this. Like, masterpiece is like, okay, is this like on your top 10 movies?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember movies? If I gave it a 9 or a 10 on Letterboxd, but it's like at least a 9.5 for me.
Wow.
Sorry to reveal my rating soon.
I think it might be probably my top 10 at this point.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We got some.
10 out of 10 for me.
It's just like
10 out of 10.
All right, wrap the podcast.
We're doing the. All right, I gave it a 7. We're doing ratings early, folks. We're breaking all the rules. I gave it a 7 only because I have some character. I thought it had some character issues.
Sure.
But my gut reaction was genuine when I said I really liked it. And you know, 7's not bad. It's not like it just it got to like demoted a couple of points just for. I felt like they shoved so much into it that it didn't really allow the level of character depth that I felt like I wanted or needed from it. It was more entertaining than anything. Mm. Like for me, it was just pure entertainment. I left being overwhelmed, but I do think that they got like a nice little heartfelt, bringing everything back to just like, it really is just a mother daughter story, which is cool. It's unique. There's not a lot of stories about a mother and a daughter trying to reconnect that work, you know, that I feel like are universal, that everyone can kind of relate to.
Yeah, there's not a lot of great ones. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think
Lady Bird's a pretty good movie that has that sort of same vibe, where there's, you know, trying to stay connected as you're getting older.
They're definitely out there. Like there's.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, I thought that was a strength of it, but there was a lot of aspects where, and just having the time to stew over it. You know, we all watched this movie, what, a month ago?
Yeah.
Or so? Mm-hmm. Having the time to really stew over it after just like the initial like, like over like just download of insanity when you first leave of the theater. If we had done this podcast like the day after, I probably would have just been singing its praises. But just thinking about it more and more, I was like, yeah, like the stresses that they had about like the grandfather worrying about like, oh, is he gonna like accept them for being like lesbian couple, and all these different things like that were sort of like at the end were just kind of like wrapped up like in a tight little bow real quick, and it was sort of like, all right, like it didn't really seem, there didn't seem like they set a lot of those things up. Mm. It just sort of like, oh yeah, now we're just, it's all good.
And that's one of the things that I feel like they did actually really well.
Yes. I agree with that.
And the reason why I say that is because that's actually the thing that I love the most about the movie is this one scene Are we doing spoilers? Is that fine?
Yeah, oh, we've been spoiling.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The scene at the end when they're actually talking, like in front of the car, and the mom says this one line. She says, paraphrasing, she says, like, I still think you look fat in that dress.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It just,
yeah.
For me, it's like that. I think, and that's what a lot of, that's what a lot of movies about, like, reconciliation kind of get wrong, yeah. Is they kind of create like this complete 180
story. Like the characters are just different.
Yeah, yes. They're just different, and it's just like I think the fact that they didn't really wrap everything up in like a like picture perfect, like I grew up in an immigrant family, and so that kind of thing is what immigrant families
yes.
typically are like
yes.
yeah
like and me growing up being like kind of like, you know, like a lover of like, you know, songs and movies and stuff like that. You kind of grow up in, as like a little romantic, and you know, you're having issues with your parents, and there's like this one thing like, and we lost it all. Nothing lasts forever. I'm sorry. I can't be perfect. And you think that like your dad is going to come and like, you know, wrap his arms around you and like love you and yeah. stuff like that. But like that shit doesn't happen for real. Like it doesn't yeah. happen like that. You can have a moment and you're like, oh, things are going to change. And in reality, the next week you're fighting about something else. And it's just hard. And, you know, growth can happen, but at the end of it, it's still a mess. And I think that's the point. And I think I don't know, maybe like this is me like projecting my own idea of the world on these filmmakers. Maybe they actually didn't wrap it up in a way that like, you know, was good enough, and I just, you know, felt like that was appropriate, and they didn't intend to do that.
But I think the as far as the mother daughter aspect, I think they did a really good job mm. with it, because it had enough of a resolve where the resolve was just that, hey, we were honest yeah. with each other
and yeah. making an mm-hmm. effort.
We're making an effort. We're honest. We're just trying to communicate, and we're accepting the fact that like we're bad communicators and we don't really relate to each other.
Oh.
That I thought was strong. I thought the resolve with the woman who was basically gonna have to close their business.
Yeah.
Down.
Oh, the tax lady.
The tax yeah. lady.
That was a little quick.
I thought that was a little like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like kind of Hollywood, and then I thought the aspect with the grandfather was a little Hollywood. Mm. But mm. the other, yeah, like the ending scene where it really rested. The music cut out. Mm-hmm. No fancy camera work. It was kind of like semi-handheld, mm-hmm. and it was just like in the moment. It was like emotional, but I felt like that resonated. I was like that the movie needed that scene. Yeah. I thought that really that worked super well. There's just some other things that I felt like character-wise was like, eh. I was talking to my buddy the other day about it too, and he he brought up the husband character, mm. and he was like,
he was so interesting.
He was like, the husband character is so like boring. He's like, he's so annoying. Like the more I think about him, he's like, I think I really hated that character. Mm. And I was laughing because I was like, that's the point. That's why she's unhappy, is because her husband is boring. He's sure. he's not a bad guy. He's
actually a really good guy.
Yeah. He's a really nice guy. You know, I think we all know some people who are just like, yeah, they're nice and they're good, but like,
there's no danger.
There's no there's no passion from yeah. their spouse anymore, because they're just kind of like blah. But then the whole point of showing all the other dimensions of the different versions of him through time yeah. was sort of showing like, yeah, this was the universe in which he sort of just plays it safe and just kind of like floats mm-hmm. and doesn't really, yeah, he doesn't take risks. But there are other aspects to his soul or however mm-hmm. you want to think about it. And I thought that was cool.
Well, I think it was more about the way she viewed him. In my perspective watching it, it was like she was viewing him as being like boring and kind of passive and all this stuff, but she was just holding like so much anxiety and anger within herself, and he yeah. was always like the shining light that was always in a good mood. He was always optimistic about stuff. Whenever a problem arose, he would always tackle the problem with being like, well, we can do this together. And she just didn't tackle problems that way. She tackled problems by like being anxious until it was done. Okay. or just like worrying all the time. And I saw it as more of like Evelyn, like I loved her character, but I thought like she was very focused on herself. And I think that was one of the big themes there too, because you don't think that she's focused on herself. You think that she's focused on everything around her,
mm-hmm.
but she's actually just anxious about everything around her.
Yeah.
Like she's always questioning about, you know, how much money she should make or what her daughter's doing or what her dad's going to think of her daughter or like how her business is doing and what she should do with her life. Like she's very like so focused on herself. So when she sees her husband being so like happy and optimistic, it like annoys her because he's just so content.
And it feels fake to her or like inauthentic.
Right. But it's not. It's just he is content with who he is.
Again,
and being that way,
I feel like all of these aspects are like so strong in the movie because like at the beginning you definitely feel like Evelyn does about her husband, like he's just like obnoxious and like he seems weak, you know, and and not, you know, a helpful character. But then like as it goes, you get to see it from a different perspective, like from the other universe perspective, and that helps inform the universe that they're in. And even same thing with, I know you're saying like the tax lady and her was like that reconciliation was wrapped up really quickly, maybe too quickly, but there's another aspect of it that's like, well, you get all of this backstory of the other universes where they do have a relationship, and it's like maybe that is what is like deep down in their soul, they have a connection.
That's kind of what the movie's implying.
And it's like they can make that reconciliation because there's a connection already there somewhere in the universe.
Yes.
I think one of the things is like in hearing you guys talk, one thing that came to mind is the idea that like in none of the universes were things perfect. Mm-hmm. Like in every, like, you know, like, because I'm thinking of the idea that her husband is safe, and in the you know, she despises him for it. But in the universe where she's a star and she has all this thing and she's like a action star, and that's the universe that she also gets her fighting skills from.
Yeah.
She's miserable. She's lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of that thing where it's just like. And that's the theme that the movie is kind of going on, like in a multiverse that everything is possible, then
things are going to be like disappointing.
It's like when everything is possible, one thing is always for certain, that there's going to be suffering. Like,
yeah.
And like, I think that's what they kind of realize is like at the end of the, you know, she's like, I've seen it all. Like, I'm choosing to kind of be here and kind of deal with the crap that this world, you know, throws at us. And, you know, we got each other despite it.
Yeah. It also seems to be commenting on just that whole, just wanting what you, like sort of fantasizing about what you could have or could have had and thinking about checkpoints in your life and choices in your life. You're like, well, if it went in that direction, then I would inevitably be in this place, and then failing to really recognize that, well, yeah, you might have all of that, but then you don't know what else, what other complications come along with that. Like the classic thing of just people wanting to just be able to have more money or make more money or be in a certain level of security and everything. And it's like, well, yeah, if you're like on the streets, then yeah, that's going to bring you a whole lot of stability and peace, but if you're at a certain caliber, you fail to see all the other complications that come along with that and stresses that come along with that you just automatically think is going to fulfill you. And I feel like it's kind of a tale as old as time, but it's just that it done in a way that is you know, being able to sort of capture your own curiosity about your own life. I remember I definitely was processing a lot of things while watching. It felt like I was watching the movie, but then also reflecting on my life a lot.
I feel like that's such a good, like, that's a sign of a good movie for me, you know, when it makes me think more reflectively about my own experience. Like,
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want movies to do that for me, like to bring me to a place where I'm thinking more. I feel like that's so beautiful about your experience with it. Like, you know, you as living in an immigrant family, mm-hmm. very different than their experience, but still so much to relate.
You deal with like very, like, I mean, at least this, like what the movie was kind of the story that they were painting is like, man, I resonate with that, like, you know, so much.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if they're from a different country and
no.
All the, you know.
But I also think it's not even like just an immigrant thing. I think we all right. kind of deal with that thing in one way or another. Like you said, like I think I'm constantly thinking about like, man, if I was actually thinking about that. It's like for example, like so I went home, you know, last year and I was watching this one video on YouTube of it was March 1990, Stamford, Connecticut, a month after I was born in the town that I was born. Like this guy had a camcorder and he was just like driving around and just documenting my hometown a month after I was born. Wow. And I just remember thinking, man, like if he...
How did you come across this on YouTube?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's awesome. So weird.
But like, I think, you know, one of my siblings probably found it and put it on and I got to like, I was watching it and I had to stop. I got really emotional because like, it's like, man, if he knew that I existed at that time and I could somehow communicate with him and I can tell him tell my parents this or tell my siblings this or mm-hmm. maybe like, I don't know, write me a letter and tell me this so that as I'm growing up, I can avoid this or I can do this or I can, I don't know, bet on this. I don't know. But it's like one of those things where we all have these moments where we're just like, there's so many different possibilities. I wish this, like this timeline didn't happen or I was this one thing that didn't happen and I wish I could have changed it like, you know, this way. And that kind of messes with you. And then I think the end of the movie is just kind of like, well, this is what we've been given. And, you know, mm-hmm. what are we going to do? Are we going to kind of let it tear us apart or are we going to let it, you know, bring us, you know, closer together? And it's not going to be perfect, but, you know, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
So again, like maybe that's like, and I think that's in a movie where everything is happening everywhere all at once. It's kind of like, it's like a great movie to just to, you know, find yourself in, yeah. like just to kind of like, okay, if this,
cause you're in there somewhere.
Yeah. You're, yeah. you're there somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, nostalgia is like big, at least it was for me in this movie. It was just like, there were things that just reminded me of the things that I loved growing up. Like the villain reminded me of like Rita Repulsa from like Power Rangers. She kind of had that vibe, yeah. and it's just like maybe that wasn't an influence, but like for me, I resonated with that, mm-hmm. you know. And a good movie can like do that. It's open for, it's not hitting you over the head with these things that it wants you to know. It's just like kind of like a mirror that it's just reflecting kind of your own ideas and your own feelings kind of back at you.
Mm. Yes.
So that's what I really like enjoyed about that. And I might be completely wrong, but maybe that's the point, you know.
What do you mean you might be wrong?
As far as like
their intention,
their
filmmaker's intention.
They might not have intended for me to take it the way that I did, but there was just so much.
Well, maybe not with the Power Rangers thing, but everything else, it seems like it was intentional. Like there's the idea of like nihilism and then accepting the nihilism.
Yeah.
And then like letting that be almost a strength or something to lean on as like, oh, okay, well, yeah, if nothing matters, then like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with your life? If it truly doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think about that sometimes.
I think about that all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think about it in regards to like anxiety.
I'm thinking about it right now.
I think about it as far as like anxiety yeah. or like how there's I think about it as in what I see being perpetuated a lot, whether it's social media or just things that people are talking about. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like there's this equal parts, like I'm so anxious in this sort of like nihilistic sense of humor, which I love.
Yes.
And I relate to, but then it's also like, well, if nothing matters and why are you like, what are you anxious about? you know, like I always found that interesting.
And also there's like this, the thing is like, especially now in our society, like there's, we have access to everything.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's kind of like, there's the question is just
too
like,
much.
It's too, it could it's, be too much, too but much. It's also like, you don't want to be uninformed. And so you want to like, you know, take in everything.
Right.
Everywhere all at once, but you also know that like
is bliss, man.
It's not, it doesn't help, you know.
Wow,
this
that's
journey.
So true.
Like,
yeah.
So I'm like,
yes,
you kind of have to like ignore it in a sense,
like
but
choose your battles.
Yeah, you kind of feel like a jerk.
Yeah,
you know, that's
for ignoring
everything. Well, everywhere.
Oh. Well, yeah, if you were ignore everything,
it's
everywhere,
like it's the
all
internet,
the time.
Though, right? Like we didn't, generations before didn't have the option.
Yeah.
To consume as much
right,
information
and information,
like
yep.
knowledge about the world mm-hmm. in real time,
yeah,
that we can, and it's just like
it's amazing that any
no
of us
one's ever done that before.
Yeah, like, yeah, they literally have. If you've seen the documentary, what's it called, The Social Dilemma? I think.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's a really good one.
I didn't watch it because I didn't want to be more depressed.
It's more like informative than depressing. Gotcha. It basically just talks about like how our minds are not evolved to be as globalized as we are right now. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very overwhelming. So
well, it
when,
also
when
talks
you hear
about how you're being manipulated every day.
Yes, that too. But oh, when you see like all this input, like all at once, like you were talking about, it does cause like a huge spike in anxiety, like just overall in the planet because there's so much information that we're inputting all, like literally all at once all the time. And we're not supposed to like know about all these groups that we're not a part of right now.
Right.
The way our minds are developed. So it's very interesting.
And I think the movie like kind of explores that where she's kind of like, I'm going to end it all. Like
it's just too much.
Just shut it all off.
Yeah.
I'm going to end the antagonist.
The antagonist.
Yeah. When she's about to go inside the bagel.
I felt a little like confused by her character because she was like that sort of complete, like the representation of utter nihilism, like
yes,
nothing matters. And I liked the indifference. I liked that there wasn't like this sort of, it was like pure evil, but at the same time, pure evil is not necessarily aggressively harmful,
dark,
and dark and sinister as much as indifferent about everything in humanity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then it's sort of like, well, if you're indifferent, why are you want to destroy everything?
Well, I think. It begs the question: can you actually be like truly nihilistic? And I was reading this because I'm like, sometimes I feel like really cynical about things, and I was like, you know, learning a little bit more about cynicism, and they said like, you know, a lot of cynics are like, you know, disappointed romantics.
Yeah.
And so there's a part
of, I fall in that category too.
There's a part of her character that I feel like is also crying out for help.
She is. She's
but
like
that's
very,
that's
she's
part
very
of the
scared.
Conversation.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
with her and her mom, and I believe I remember her mom like saying that to her, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where she's like, "Well, why did you come to find me?"
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like,
she said because she's lonely. It's a lonely life.
Yeah.
And I wanted somebody else to see what I see.
Yeah.
And she just doesn't want to be lonely anymore. Yeah. She's literally just like so sad.
Yeah.
You could see it in her. It's very like
What do they call like the
everything bagel?
No, the villain.
Yeah.
It was like the
oh,
the version of her daughter who was
Domandado.
I have no idea.
It's not
Jomo. Jono.
Her name's Joy.
Yeah.
But
then they called
Jomanga.
First of all, did you guys know it was going to be her? Because
I saw it coming
so quickly.
Yeah.
And then when they showed her with like the hat and they were doing like a silhouette thing, I'm like, it's obviously the daughter.
Yeah, it's
I did really like. Well, there's a lot to talk about here.
Jobu.
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 Jobu Tupaki.
Why is that not? Oh, there it is. That's Jobu Tupaki.
Jobu Tupaki.
Yeah. That's now ringing a bell. Okay.
Jobu Tupaki.
Yeah, I loved that. It was just like fun to say. Jabberwocky. But yeah, what else did you guys get from it? Something I was gonna say earlier is that I've always wanted to see a movie that highlighted the choices that you make in life, and that was an aspect of the whole multiverse thing that I enjoyed, because it wasn't really like, I don't know, it wasn't like the multiverse. I mean, there was definitely like the absurdist multiverse aspects where it's just like, well, there's in a universe of infinity, there's going to be every possibility, and like the law of probability would say that you would have, you know, hot dog fingers in some universe or whatever. And it's like, you know, you see these ideas in Rick and Morty, and it's like, so it's so much fun, and it's so absurd, and it's like, it's hilarious. And I was like, oh, if someone else is going to try to do that same thing, it's kind of like, it's almost like you have to have some sort of creative limitation on yourself in order for it to for me to care. Because otherwise it's just, it's like too much, you know, and which is, feels weird for me to even say that, because I like, my mind is so absurd day to day. And I love that sort of like just utter random, meaningless, you know, nonsense.
That's why the first time we met, we talked for 3 hours about just everything, everywhere, all at once.
Yeah, exactly. But I liked that they made it more about your choices. Mm. Like that was almost like where there was a split. Like there was just like, there's you and then there's this decision.
It's not circumstance.
It's almost like, it's not just like a million universes existing at the same time and you're a part of all of them. They made it sort of more about, it was just a different take on it, where they made it more about you made a decision and then this version went in that direction and this version went in that direction. And I've always wanted to either like make or see a movie that really covered those decisions you make in your life, where it's like there is a split, like you did break up with that person, or you did go choose this career path and you could have done this other thing, or you have the sort of like, oh, do I do this or this? And sometimes it's a lot of different pathways in front of you and you're like, I don't know which one to do. And you do nothing, and that's still a decision, and that still takes you down another path, even though you're like, I'm not going to make a decision. And it's like all those complexities in life, it's like, I don't know how many of those decisions are made in certain people's lives. Sometimes it seems like they just sit into a default state, and that kind of seemed like that was our main characters, is like the default state, kind of like, I don't want to make a decision. And like, I liked that it was sort of that was who was zeroing in on. And it's
there's
like,
the line
could
where
have been all these other things. And it just made me think about, you know, how I relate to that, about like sort of option paralysis of just being like, there's so much that I could do, and then sort of just like shooting myself in the foot and being like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't really want to go because I have my foot hurts. You're like, yeah, but you just did that. It's no, like, no, but I can't do it. And then as soon as it heals, you're like, oh, I shot the other foot.
I think when they call her the one version of Evelyn that is not good at anything, right? Yeah. She's the worst.
Oh, yeah.
She's the worst version of everything that she ever had an interest in. She's like, I have endless hobbies.
Yeah.
Yes. But I'm not good. She's like, this one isn't good at any of them.
Yeah.
And that's why she's the perfect candidate for this scenario.
It's so interesting because I feel like there's like a big parallel between her and her daughter, Joy / what's the cool name?
Jobu Dupaki.
And there's a cool parallel between them two because I feel like there's such a fear in Evelyn that she's so afraid to make a decision. And I feel that same way about Jobu Dupaki because I feel like they're almost like mirroring each other, even though they're mother daughter.
Well, Jobu Dupaki still is her daughter and who's been like Mr. Smith in the Matrix or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you have one character that doesn't make any decision, and the other character who's made them all essentially, like
who's seen all possibilities of the universe
and got overwhelmed and lonely.
Yes.
Yeah, which I would imagine would be pretty overwhelming and lonely if you saw just literally everything play out. You're like, nothing is going to surprise me or be exciting or.
Yeah,
feel just, like it has like any sort of tangible.
She just feels numb to everything.
Right.
Another aspect of the storyline that I thought was really cool and interesting and reflective of truth is that the mom, so when Evelyn goes and sees everything, the same, she's at the same level as Jobu Tupaki.
Yes.
It takes her experience to, like, she's already lived enough life and gone through enough pain and joy and hurt and set and whatever. She's experienced enough to actually see it from another perspective where it's like joy is immediately just like overwhelmed by it and can't see a way to tune out the chaos.
Yes. Yes.
But because Evelyn, I interpret it as like, because she's older and she's more experienced, like she's just kind of used to it already, even though it's like she's never, she hasn't experienced like all of the universes at once, but she's just lived a little bit more life. And sometimes you need someone who is a little bit older,
that's true. A little she's bit a little wiser, bit more grounded,
just to like bring you back down.
Yeah, I but didn't think about that.
I also think that that is also the reason why a lot of people that are older that have seen so many things sometimes miss the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the thing where it's just like, at the end of the day, she, you know, when we first meet the character, she's juggling everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And she can't really see that her daughter just wants to be loved and appreciated.
Totally. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where the I was about to ask kind of like, what was the connection between like, you know, the main character? She's obviously the same character throughout the whole movie, but then there's the villain and then there's the daughter, and I'm trying to kind of like,
oh yeah, yeah,
figure out whether or not they're like a parallel or they're just like opposites, or kind of how do they connect?
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, that's the problem of it being so, everything happening, is that like it's really hard to kind of figure out where, like, that, you know, for the main character I can understand it and her relationships to everybody else, but like, is there something being said about the daughter and kind of, you know,
it feels to me like it's kind of acknowledging without saying that there's like an inherent mother-daughter relationship that is just going to that exists across universes. And so what, you know, Evelyn and Jobu Tupaki are not from the same universe, but they both understand that same language of mother-daughter. And like so like Evelyn has like, her heart is like, yeah, you're my daughter, even if you, like, she could have easily been like, yeah, you're from a different universe, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just there inherently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then same thing with, you know, Joy from the other universe. Yeah. Like, she's still like, her desire is also to be,
yeah, to have, know, a relationship with her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's how I saw it, is like, maybe they're different. I also thought that, with Evelyn, like, Evelyn was one of the aspects that really changed like Joy from the initial universe to Jobu Tupaki. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like, because of Evelyn's driving force to make Joy something or someone and drive her to become, you know, successful or whatever she thought, that, like, she pushed her too far, right? It was Evelyn from the other universe that really made her Jobu Tupaki.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, there's that too, and maybe with the, you know, the bland universe, the boring universe, she just isn't pushing her quite enough, but she's not giving her enough support and love. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't push her to the point the same as the other one.
Can I ask you a question, Jamin?
Yeah.
When you talked about how it like changed you, can you talk about specifically, like the themes?
Yeah.
Of how it changed your perspective.
I can't remember.
You can't.
You can't remember how it changed you.
In the moment,
he actually changed his mind.
He bounced right back.
I'm not changed anymore.
Well, it was like, wait, I can't remember who said that. You said it. You feel changed, and then you're like, yeah, I'm the same person the next day, but you just feel a little bit different.
But there's like a perspective. Like, did you gain any perspective from watching that movie?
Yeah, it was, to me, it was the fight against nihilism. And like, there's definitely valid feelings of things feeling like worthless and not important, and what is the point? But to me, like, in the middle of it, when they're starting to reveal all this, like, Jobu Dubaki is like feeling all of the nihilism, I was like, where's this gonna go? Like, I did not know what the answer was going to be. And then when Evelyn realized from, what's the husband's name? Do you remember?
Oh, Wayman.
No. Wayman. So she sees Wayman through the universe as like just caring for people and not caring about his agenda, or like he doesn't have the anxiety of like, this needs to happen to this. And what's like, what?
Right.
All he ever cared about was people.
Yes.
And she sees that and is inspired, and like something flips in her.
Yes.
And I was just like, you're kidding me. Like, it's just like, that's what it's about. Just people. And I felt so like impacted by that.
Right.
Yeah. I liked the pointing out almost the, just like the harmony needed to have that balance. Cause they're just presenting you with like all these extreme personality differences and all these extreme examples of like going down like this road and becoming that type of person and just like mega rich with all, you know, it's just like all these extreme examples, like coming back to just like having pointing out the balance needed for everything. And like doing that in a way that's like, like a lot of these sort of same ideas presented in a in just kind of a new packaging, which I think is what we want out of any story. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. It's
What about the like sticking things in people's butts all the time?
Oh my god, I loved
that. I forgot about that.
So there's
I blocked that out already.
So it's fantastic. Like we're getting hung up on like the reflection and like how we felt after the movie.
I recommended the movie to my pastor.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
no, you didn't.
I was like, it's probably not a kind of movie that you want to just see with other people. Like, just, I mean,
just go by yourself.
Go by yourself.
Don't bring your kids.
You know, it's like, it's just, I said, it's wild.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You just, it's wild.
Yeah.
I don't know if he saw it. I'll probably ask him, you know, tomorrow, but,
he probably killed himself after watching it.
No, to be honest, he's,
I'm just kidding.
I think he would,
you think you'd love it?
I think he'd love it.
Yeah.
You know, but that was kind of the thing where I was just like, I don't know how I feel about like, you know, recommending a movie where people should.
I forgot about that.
Well, the idea is that they're doing something that's so out of character that like the average person wouldn't do, like if they're on like a timeline of the norm, that they.
Yeah, it's somehow supposed to like trigger their other version of themselves somewhere else.
Sends them on the trajectory. Like that, there were certain ideas like that where I was just like,
no, I thought that was so creative.
But you're the most, the thing, like,
I thought that was so creative.
But here's the thing though, that's the point.
Yeah. No, I know.
Like, that sounds like something you would write.
I know. And here's watching the movie, like I am enjoying the experience of this, but there's also the aspect of like, I don't know. It's like, it is like option paralysis where there's you could have done, when you don't set up any parameters, you could have done anything, right? And that's part of the interesting thing about this movie. And then they do hot dog fingers. And you're like, all right, that was a funny bit.
I didn't like the hot dog fingers.
But then they do hot dog fingers and it becomes this like ongoing thing where it's like, okay, like we don't need to, do we need to, is that like one of the main characters now of the movie?
Yeah,
like
keep coming back to the hot dogs.
Keeps going back to it and it's like, okay, it's funny. Like the everything bagel bit was like funny for a second and then you're like, oh, it's really stupid. And then they keep going back to it. Like there's certain things like that where it was like, I was struggling a little bit because it's like, yeah, like this is
surprising to me because you're a goofy,
I know,
you're a goofy
I know
guy.
I have a very
goofy,
goofy
goober
random
you are a goofy
sense of
goober.
Humor. I know. I like those aspects of the
he
movie.
He likes to be the goofy goober. He doesn't like other no, people when the goofy goober.
No, it's just like things are because you're almost like, well, things are so random in this movie that you could have done anything that it almost feels like any creative idea doesn't feel good enough because you're like, well, you could have done anything. And you're like, yeah, and you yeah. did, and you did hot dog fingers, and you did it 5 times. And, you know, there's just like certain, there's certain aspects of that where I was like, I was.
How about
my
the
eyes
shot though? With the shots where they
and sticking like, the things up the butt. It's just like okay.
But
like,
when they, it gets to the scene where they're about to face off the two of them, and then like all their weapons are just like changing in their hands.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the background
yes,
is just like
yes.
flipping.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that was sick.
So visually
that sick.
Stimulating.
Well, that's why. The thing that this movie has going for it, I would say the most, other than maybe some of this stuff that we've been talking about of like how it, what it meant to us personally, is just you, like the editing,
yeah,
is so
top notch,
outrageous.
Yeah, it's crazy,
so insane. Like I was thinking of you watching this because it was just had that like
really?
that just like quick, fast paced yeah. match cut stuff throughout, and I was just like. It's overwhelming. It's like an epileptic nightmare.
Yes.
If somebody has epilepsy and they watch this, you will have a seizure. Like, it's so overwhelming. But then they also know when to just, you know, just yeah. just chill out. Like, I really liked the rock scene.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
like they turn into rocks, and
it's
just,
so
just
sweet.
Text
yes.
on screen.
Yeah.
It needed that
right.
because the
yeah.
rest of the movie is just like. Like it's just so
yeah.
it's so
I loved that part because it was like a little break and you're just reading and then
yeah.
I remember looking
just quiet.
I remember like looking to the left and be like, are you like watching the movie still? Like
yeah.
what
like
just
what's,
went on
you,
the
yeah.
you suddenly feel the crowd around you and
yes.
it's just like,
you're like
I feel like it was one of those things where my adrenaline was pumping and then it got to that point and my adrenaline was still pumping but I knew I needed to calm down and I was just like
yeah,
like,
and it came at the perfect time.
Yeah,
I was just like, oh,
because it's overly stimulating.
Yeah.
Like, so I feel like the movie, because yeah, like any fault that I find with it, like it's a little bit overshadowed by the fact that it's just it's so well done and so creative, and the effects are so good, and like it, you can just sit back and I think be immersed in the experience. And there's certain movies that like I really can't, like I could nitpick, but I really can't find too much fault. When ultimately I sat back and was like thoroughly entertained
yeah.
the whole time. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Yeah, it might have had like some issues, but they were shoving the whole point of the movie seemed like they were just trying to shove a ton of things together in a way that like felt somewhat cohesive, digestible,
yes.
and balanced.
Yes.
And for basically being The Matrix and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Among other things, like shoved together, it was like,
yeah,
and being so overwhelming, it really did have that balance. It really did feel like you're like, oh, this is almost like a genreless movie.
Mm.
It's too many genres.
What,
and I didn't feel like it was too much.
What's crazy is like, you know, last week I actually saw like the other like big, you know, multiverse movie, the
Doctor Strange,
the Doctor Strange movie.
And I haven't watched it yet.
Then I'm wondering if I should say anything.
Give it away because it doesn't matter.
Well, it's,
oh,
I'm
no.
not giving it away. I'm just saying like it's weird because
oh,
like
you guys want to watch that?
You had
yeah. I do want to watch it.
I do.
I want to judge it for myself. You know,
like you had a story that like had like everything, and then you had a story that had like just a fraction of that. And I feel like where I enjoyed the Multiverse of Madness. It's a Marvel movie. You know they. It's going to be good, right?
Sam Raimi, though.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I didn't really expect it. I didn't really expect it to be bad, and it was.
Did you just say the statement? It's a Marvel movie. It's going to be good.
Yeah, like
well, I mean, in the past few years, like you know, even the worst Marvel movies were like, well, it was fine. You know, there were ones that were like really really good, and then there was ones that were like I don't know if I've seen one that was like, and maybe. You guys can remind me, but I don't know if I've seen one recently that was just like, this is awful.
Captain Marvel.
Wow.
Oh, no. Well, the only thing that I could think of was
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Okay. I was gonna say the Eternals was like probably like the worst one. Captain Marvel.
I like part of me wants to just go on a rampage of destroying Marvel right now.
No.
But
okay.
Well, the movies that just did really poorly are the ones that I haven't seen because I just gave up.
Gotcha.
After a while.
Well, I guess I'm just saying, like, you know, the Marvel movies, it's like you know what you're gonna get into.
At least
right.
From a production value perspective,
yeah, you're gonna be entertained. This movie, I think, did multiverses better.
Totally.
Yes. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, it does.
That just like shows you like when you have like intention and when you have like, you know, a good grasp of like the kind of story that you're trying to.
Mm-hmm.
And also you don't have like, you know, producers in your in your story.
Yeah,
kind of just like shoving ideas like you have to talk about this and you have to, you know, do this. Like, I think you just ultimately like can make a really good movie without, you know.
I'm pretty sure that this was made with a very small crew.
They had 5 visual effects artists.
That's what I saw. Yeah, I saw online it said there was only 5 people who did the visual effects.
I saw that.
There's more visual effects in
this
than a lot of movies that I've seen this year.
They just worked on it all through COVID. Just
really?
Shot by shot.
Is that what you saw?
Yeah.
Someone told me that the fighting scenes where they're like in the multiverse that they just keep cutting, you know how they keep match cutting a ton in some fighting scenes,
yeah,
that those aren't like green screen or CGI, those are all just like match cuts that they separately filmed somewhere else.
Yeah,
well, I did see the way
it did
that
look
they,
really good.
It did look really,
you know,
really
that
good.
Shot where she like is going like backwards.
Yes.
With it. Did you see
I
the
saw
breakdown
the
of that
the
no
BTS.
I didn't. What is the breakdown?
The breakdown is basically that one of the Daniels, because it's directed by the Daniels, two Daniels.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of them had this idea for the shot like a while ago, and he was traveling for a bit, and so everywhere he went, he would just had this little GoPro or something, or his phone, and he was just getting the same, like forward movement, all everywhere.
That's incredible.
And so he had like 100 shots or something.
Wow.
And then they edited that together into the 5-second clip that it is.
Yeah.
Took that on 2 TV screens, sandwiching the actress, and projected the light onto her. And then
so
they
that
had
was
a,
just filmed with like his
behind.
Phone or something.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I think
that's
it was.
So
I think
cool.
They said it was a pocket camera, and I don't know if it's a pocket camera like that or just like a, you know, a point and shoot, but he said that he opened the
it could have been a black magic or something.
Yeah, the aperture like a lot so you could get the like the blurriness and the
oh yeah,
and he messed with the shutter speed, so that's why you get like those streaks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think it might have been like just like it was a camera that would allow for that.
Yeah.
But iPhones do that now.
They do.
You can turn the shutter speed, you know, down.
Yeah, it's
to
like
where it's
an
like
app
a,
or something.
Yeah. So it
there's gonna be
that's so
there's
cool.
gonna be feature films shot on the new iPhones that are gonna be coming out. Like
I've heard crazy things about the
iPhones.
Movie Unsane?
No.
There's a movie that came out.
It's like, a good band though.
A few years ago, I watched it in theaters. It was shot on iPhone.
Yeah, Tangerine was shot on iPhone.
I haven't seen that, but I've heard of it.
Same here.
Wasn't bad. It's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, there's so much to say. Like, just like. Creatively and visually about this movie, I feel like they will come up with some really wacky ideas, like the directors, and they'll find it's almost like they'll find a way to tell a story in a way that they just are able to shove all their wacky ideas into.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that. I think that's cool.
I also feel like nowadays, like, limitations are not a thing anymore, and I think this because this movie had limitations, kind of like some of the iconic movies of the past, like, you know, when I saw the behind the scenes of like the
story wise, it doesn't feel like it has limitations.
Well, yeah, but
budget,
like as far as
budget wise
and stuff
else,
like that.
Yeah.
When I saw the way that they shot the kind of, you know, flying back scene and him doing that, it reminded me of the way that they shot. What was it? It was either Star Wars or.
Yeah, they were scrappy.
Or 2001.
Okay.
Where it was kind of, they did a similar thing where it was a screen and a mirror and it kind of showed like,
wow,
you know.
You're talking about the light the light fractal sequence when he goes into the other dimension in 2001.
Yeah.
Where they do like a blacked out screen, yep, and they cut a small hole, yep, in it, and then they do the same camera movement with different lights,
yep,
projecting on the other side of it, and then they combine it all so it has that sort of that
really like laser, yeah, vortex.
Yeah.
Oh my
god. Well, you watch it now and you're like, "Oh, Windows 95 screensaver?" Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, but
no, it looks pretty good.
No, it looks incredible, does. But we've seen you play iTunes and then you click like the stupid like light show, right, that goes with the song and you're like, "Duh, cool." Like it so you've seen things that are
did
way
you spend
crazier.
Hours doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, I used to just like get high and just play iTunes.
Put your best music on.
In like 2004, when like 19- iTunes light show things came on, and it would pulsate things right with the music, and then like, it would change, yeah, the style of the time. It was so cool.
In 1995, there was that screensaver where it was like the maze, and you could change the walls and stuff like that. And there was like you could just like when you put it on and it would just kind of go through like a maze and stuff like that. But the walls would be all trippy and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it reminded me of.
But, I'm so glad you brought up 2001.
Yeah, but like
this movie made me think about.
Well, the thing is, like the limitations that they had back then, and they were making some iconic movies that people still love, yeah, to this day.
Yeah.
This was kind of like a return back to that, where you could still make an epic movie on a. But I mean, granted, the budget was still in the millions. But
do you know what it was?
I think it was like.
No.
Can look it up.
20.
I feel like the budget probably. Million? A lot of the
either 2 or 20. I don't know why the number 2 is coming to my head, but
Well, we talked about everything I wanted to talk about, I think, for the most part, but
$25 million US dollars.
All right. Well, that's still
with inflation, how much is that?
Well, it's still a small budget for like
comparatively,
bigger,
yes,
for it.
You know, what was Multiverse of Madness?
Probably $250 million.
Come on, Alan.
It's got to be more than that.
Look it up.
It's $200 million. There
you go. Zoinks.
So 25 versus $200 million.
Zoinks, Scoob.
That's crazy.
So it's like the thing is like a good story, like direction and like just like creativity, and you know they made things that they made a movie that like wowed us.
Also, they just remind me of like classic YouTube VFX guys that just like
Andrew Kramer,
yeah, or like the Film Riot guys, yep, or like it's just like that type of energy that's just like the YouTube filmmaker that's scrappy and just like figures VFX out, yeah, because they like lightsabers and they want to make lightsabers, yeah, and have, yeah, a light, and, you know, but not a lot of those guys are making feature films, and so like to see them do it is really cool and encouraging for me.
Have you guys seen Swiss Army Man?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
I have not.
Homework.
I
what did you think about Swiss Army Man?
I was shocked that this was by the same guys.
Really? You were shocked?
It's shocked.
It's made by the same people?
Fart and butt humor mixed with actual,
yeah, but
like
it wasn't that funny in heartfelt. Swiss Army Man.
You didn't think it was funny?
I mean, a little bit.
I thought it was funny.
When you say made, do you mean like directed or written? Like what
written,
do you mean?
Written and directed by the same guys. Oh, Swiss Army Man, I think, was their first movie.
Yeah.
And their whole premise, the whole, like, premise of the movie for them was, like, or their 30-second pitch when they were getting, like, funding was, like, the movie will open, the first fart will make you laugh, and the last fart will make you cry. Or something like that. And
the log line is that
that's silly.
A guy in the woods has a best friend who is dead, and he hangs out with his dead best friend.
Yeah, but the dead body is like, it's a Swiss Army man.
Is that the one with Daniel Radcliffe?
Yes, and he is like somehow capable.
Does really cool things.
He's somehow capable of doing all these cool things.
Like a
things.
Jet ski.
Yeah.
It's a very creative movie. I get it.
I like Swiss Army Man maybe more than Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh gotcha. My God.
It's... Only because I appreciate the two guys in the wilderness vibe.
Yeah.
A lot. I really like that.
I can't wait to see what they do next.
Yeah, they're going to do something They're gonna. I'm gonna keep my eyes peeled for their stuff.
I'll keep my eyes peeled.
There's certain directors where you're just.
I won't. I'm gonna close my eyes.
I'm gonna watch. I need a nap. Actually,
I'm never watching a movie ever again.
That was actually the last movie I'm gonna watch. So that was cool.
Wait, hey. Jamin, did you see 2001, the light thing that we were talking about? Do you know what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a pretty iconic shot.
Yeah.
It is. I just was making sure.
Well, I am 5 years old, so.
And you've seen it, right?
Yes. I actually just saw it recently for the first time.
Yeah.
Did not like the ending. I told you that, and you weren't very happy with me.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that right now. It's just
you weren't very happy with me. But it's true. I liked the movie.
I like a wholesome ending, that's what Everything Everywhere gave me.
I agree with that.
Realist, you know. I don't like a buttoned up perfect.
I love a little bit of chaos.
Yes.
A little bit of chaos, but a little bit of buttoning. That's the sweet thing for me.
I like solid punctuation in my endings. Like I like a real witty remark and a cut to black. I like those snappy.
Well,
the snappy Quentin Tarantino endings.
Yes, you do.
Evelyn, you still with us? Cut to black.
Yeah. That's the last shot.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Did you just watch it like yesterday?
No, I talked with my wife about it.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, I can't. For some reason, I can't remember that.
So it's the... No,
they're back in the office and they're...
Oh, the tax... Yeah. Office.
Yeah, they're.
They're back
doing taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yes, I forgot about that.
So it begs the question: if the cycle continues?
No, she's
gonna get her taxes.
She was hearing all the universes, and
she closes in on this one,
and she decides to do her taxes instead.
I remember thinking,
because the whole
when it ended, I remember thinking that I was very surprised that they didn't. Bring it back to some sort of figure eight.
Yeah.
Like
vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the whole movie almost exists in this sort of circular motion or like,
that would have been interesting.
It seemed like it was going to sort of do that sort of,
but unnecessary. Like they didn't need it.
Yeah.
But she also made the decision to kind of exist in this world.
Yes.
Though.
Cause she, like, especially she tells, with her daughter, she tells Joy, she's like, just stay in this world with me. And she's like, well, we can't give all of our attention to every single one because it's impossible. And she's like, let's just stay in this one. Let's just stay in this universe together.
Yeah, but how
But is she a god?
That? If you have the...
I think so.
If you have the power, if you have the ability to somehow just bloop, like even mentally, to another universe, like you're not going to do that?
Because the whole point is that she wants to be there for her daughter.
I know.
So
I'm
she's
just
like,
saying,
I'm choosing to stay here with you. And
yeah, you're right. It's a bad movie.
No. No, I was just surprised that it didn't end with some sort of like, you know, there's like the aspect of almost back in the day it would be leaving it open for a sequel, right? If this was the 80s, they would do that.
No,
it would be like,
it doesn't need
wonder
one.
If it's gonna dampen in, like, you know, go to like the Looney Tunes, like we get the
or she gets a call from like her dad's alternate like person that
I was expecting, like, we have another mission to do, and you're
on my way,
oh here we go, you know.
That would have been a little fun.
Like
she grabs one of the butt plugs.
Yeah, like, yeah, just,
like, all right,
I'm on my way.
Something to move them into another possible story. Where you're like, oh, another crazy adventure is on its way.
It's not a sequel. It just kind of ramps up a little bit.
Right. I was surprised they didn't do something like that, or like, you know, ending of the Matrix. Like he flies now. You're like, what? You know. Yeah.
Well, that's why it's a different movie. It's like.
Yeah.
Well, but then again, if she says, "Are you still with us?" Isn't that kind of the same thing?
That's a good point.
It
kind of gives an idea that maybe she's not there, or
she is there, but she's also existing somewhere else.
Yeah, Mike.
maybe argument.
I just want you to like bring it up to like an 8.5 instead of a 7.
I know.
Oh,
at least
you want me to
change
my
rating? I'm trying to convince
you. You want me to change my rating?
Please.
It's not quite an 8.5, but I feel like
how about 7.2?
I feel like I'll give it that.
Thank
you.
I don't do the points usually unless it's just It's like a 7.5 is the most.
Okay,
I would go
7.5.
All right, 7.5. Okay, everybody,
thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You did it, Greg.
thanks a lot.
Good job, Greg.
You no, did this it. Conversation reminded me.
I almost went into the everything bagel. If you didn't do that, thank you.
It reminded me of the things that I really did like about it. I've watched a bunch of movies since then, and I kind of the movie is such a blur, and so it's just I think of the movie and I think of like the scene where she's just like there's just a.
Flying
like,
back
there's just like flashes of her existing in all these different environments and just looking at the camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what's in my head.
I wish the anime one, like we saw a little bit more of that and a little less of the hot dog fingers.
Agreed.
Yeah, I could have used the hot dog fingers once.
Yeah.
It was funny. Mm-hmm. It was funny once.
But I do understand why they went back to it because they were trying to do that like storyline.
No, it was even funnier the second time when you find out that she's
with. Were they eating each other's fingers?
No, that she's with God. Jamie Lee Curtis. That's hilarious. That is so funny.
That is hilarious.
And that they're fighting. They're having a fight.
I guess.
Funny.
I don't know. It was
I
fine.
Hated it though.
It was fine.
Grumpy when they, Mike.
When she starts playing piano with her.
With her
feet,
and it's the whole orchestra is playing with their feet, and it sounds terrible.
Oh God!
Do you remember that? I loved that part.
I hate it. That's why I lost a half star for me.
Just because of the
honestly, I don't know.
That
like,
didn't bother me. I thought it was.
Funny. It was cool. Like I didn't hate it too much. Like the fun. For me, like the funniest part was when the guy like is like doing like a flying kick with like something stuck up his butt.
Yeah. Yes.
He like just comes out of nowhere and he's just like flying and like kicking. That
and it was completely blurred, like pixelated.
It was
kind of
funny.
That was my favorite. That was my favorite. I was like, was so you guys funny. Did a good job there.
You guys did a good job.
You guys did a good job.
The fights were actually,
I agree.
They were pretty on point.
Oh, they were really good.
I was enjoying the kung fu fights.
The
sure.
The fanny pack one.
I'm definitely a sucker for
a good fanny pack
kung
fight.
Fu movies. I'm a sucker for kung fu fight. Movies where like random objects are used.
I enjoy that. Fight. Yes.
So and that's crazy because that's like a a key aspect of a lot of Jackie Chan movies.
I know. And I love Jackie Chan movies.
And he originally was going to be the main character.
Whoa.
Really?
Well, they were thinking about making him the main character, but then they thought like
that would have been better.
The husband and wife kind of thing.
Yeah.
They wanted the wife to be the protagonist.
Wow.
You know, as much
and if
as
it was Jackie Chan, it would have been like a Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah.
As much as I do love Jackie Chan and I love his movies, I'm actually glad he was not in this.
Yeah,
I think he would have stolen the show completely. And it was so, as good as it was.
And you know the dad was the little boy from
The Goonies.
Indiana Jones, yes.
I've actually never seen The Goonies.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave.
No,
it's okay, Greg. Well, I haven't either. It's all right.
Okay, cool.
I can't remember if I've
seen
but
it I'm
or
still
not.
Gonna leave.
I think
oh,
I have.
Okay.
Unacceptable.
No, I just want to leave.
No, but like when I saw that, I was like, oh, I haven't seen this kid in a long time.
This kid.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a kid to me.
Yeah. No, well, wait until you see.
He kind of looks like a kid.
Wait until you see The Goonies. You're gonna be like, oh, he just looks the same.
Yeah.
The Goonies has a scene that is like. Unforgettable to me, but I saw when I was a little kid. We were talking about this the other day about like those scenes that you see when you're a little kid that just stick with you forever.
Mm-hmm. So there was a VHS that we had, and it was the end of like The Fly 2.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of The Fly?
I've seen The Fly.
Okay. So The Fly 2.
David Cronenberg.
And at the end of it, it's like this, you know, some guy is like, you know, stumbling out of this like machine that, you know, that like malfunctioned, and she's like separating him from this other deformed, like kind of gross guy. That's the earliest memory I have about a movie.
Oh my God. It's
The Fly 2.
The Fly 2.
The earliest? So then you had to be what age then?
Oh, I was a child.
Oh my goodness.
We need to watch
that,
this.
Like,
we need to watch the scene.
For you?
Oh no, not at all. I actually remember it fondly. I actually sent it to my brother the other day. I was like, hey, do you remember this? And he's like, oh shoot, I haven't seen that in a long time. And we just like really enjoyed that little cute moment.
I went through a really cute moment.
Remember when that guy was getting dismembered from the other guy?
Yeah, it was
Dude, they don't make movies like that though anymore. No.
How did I start talking about this?
Oh, we were talking about like the first early, memories.
Earliest
yeah.
Memory. That and Terminator.
What? I think you were just wrapping up. Yeah. Is that your hint?
You're over an hour and a half.
Wow.
I went by pretty quick.
Dang.
Wow, this episode just... I thought trying to structure it a little bit would shorten it, but... You know?
That was structured?
Let us know what you guys think of this movie.
Wait, leave a comment. Leave a comment and tell us what universe was your favorite.
Oh.
Mm. Okay.
I'm going to be the one leaving a comment. I'm going to go listen to this and be like, oh, guys, this was so great. I love you guys.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah.
Yeah, Greg, you should come by again. You should be a regular attendee.
Hey, I would love... Actually, Jamin, when you asked me to, I didn't respond to his text. I was so...
I knew you had to process it. It's okay.
I was so nervous.
Mm. Were you, like, flabbergasted by the text?
It just caught me off guard. Like, I mentioned it to you. I was like, you guys should talk about this. And you said you should, like,
of course.
Come on.
And
I panicked. And then you said the same thing. And then I answered you. And then I answered you.
That's fine.
Did you get the little ping in your heart?
I did. I felt loved and appreciated.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, next one we're doing is The Northman.
I haven't seen it.
Don't watch it. It's terrifying.
You saw it already, though, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about it a little bit.
I'm just kidding.
It's
really good.
We're bad. Gotcha. Oh, hey, don't.
You don't like scary movies?
No, I was kidding. Okay. It was completely sarcastic.
Cody's all not right. even there anymore.
Never mind. Like, subscribe, and just mostly
and tune in for
mostly
the Northman.
Subscribe.
Yeah, bye.
Oh, The Northman.
Let's go. Bye, guys.
Bye.